Deutsche Welle Africa Link.
Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn. Coming up on the program, the European Union and Germany announce new aid packages for the Central African Republic.
Deutschland übernimmt mehr Verantwortung.
Germany is taking on more responsibility. That is the gesture. Previously, we were not engaged in development work in the Central African Republic. That has changed with effect from today.
The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, says Nigeria's armed forces committed human rights abuses.
Many states were concerned about torture, arbitrary detention and extrajudicial execution to the military and security forces operations to combat Boko Haram in the northeast.
Also on the program, we'll be listening to some of your reactions on the stories that we covered in recent days. Stay tuned.
Top story.
The European Union and Germany have announced new aid packages for the Central African Republic. The EU funds that amount to 81 million euros will help to restore the education and health sectors as well as food security in the country. On his part, Germany's Minister for Economic Cooperation, Gerd Müller, announced that his country will provide 10 million euros in support of the Central African Republic. In a moment, we will be hearing from the minister himself, but first let's listen to a joint report by DW's Adrian Krisch and Jan Philip Scholz that has been adapted for Africa Link by Katrin Kiest.
Germany's Minister for Development, Gerd Müller, was struck by the humanitarian catastrophe upon his arrival in the capital, Bangui. Müller, the first member of Germany's newly elected government to visit the Central African Republic, called on the international community to do more.
We cannot and we must not ignore this problem. The global community should acknowledge the misery and poverty of this tragic situation the people are confronted with. We have the ability to help.
The current crisis is affecting the majority of the population. More than 50% of the Central Africans are in dire need of aid. Already in April, Germany has promised 10 million euro for the war-ravaged country. The aid is meant to improve food and water supply as well as sanitation. In concrete terms, 8.5 million euros will directly go to improving the lives of people in Central African Republic. But malnutrition is only part of the problem. The biggest challenge in CAR remains providing security for the residents. The predominantly Christian militia known as Anti-Balaka and the Muslim Seleka rebels have been attacking communities from each other's side. They have also occasionally clashed with troops from MISCA, the African Union Mission in Central African Republic. Emotion Gomez is the spokesperson for the Anti-Balaka militia.
MISCA is the real enemy of the Central African people. They are fraudsters and we are not willing to tolerate them. We are the true liberators of the people in Central African Republic.
African and French troops have managed to secure thousands of weapons from the militia. However, security remains fragile. Martin Tormenta, who heads the African Union-led peacekeeping force, says more support from the UN and EU is needed.
We don't have totally everything under control. That would be too utopic to say that. This country actually needs troops to come and help to bring about the betterment of the security environment.
Still, the prospect of an agreement by the EU to send a military mission to CAR remains distant. The German government will probably decide next week whether to send troops for the EU mission. The visit to Central African Republic by EU, French and German representatives comes just ahead of the 4th Africa-EU summit, which will take place in Brussels in April.
Katrin Kiste presented that report. As you've heard in that report, Germany's Economic Cooperation Minister Gerd Müller said his country's contribution will help improve the water and sanitation situation in the country. Adrian Krisch spoke to Minister Gerd Müller in the capital, Bangui.
I made a conscious decision to come here with my French counterpart Pascal Canfin because we wanted to make a positive gesture. We want to support Germany's aid agency Welthungerhilfe and the World Food Programme and launch a food security project. We cannot avoid this problem. Public opinion needs to be made aware of the misery and deprivation in the Central African Republic. But we are in a position to help by providing the basic essentials, food and medical aid, and assistance with water supplies. We will be discussing concrete projects in this context.
Is this intended as a political gesture in the wake of debate about Germany assuming more responsibility in the international arena?
Germany is taking on more responsibility. That is the gesture. Previously, we were not engaged in development work in the Central African Republic. That has changed with effect from today. We will launch several projects so we can begin providing help straight away. We will also be considering cooperation in the medium and long term.
Was it a mistake not being involved in development aid in the Central African Republic for such a long time?
There are problems in many parts of the world, for example, the problems facing Syrian or Congolese refugees. Globally, the plight of refugees poses one of the biggest challenges. Day in, day out, it is a matter of life or death. That's why emergency relief aid will be one of my top priorities when shaping German development policy.
The security situation in the Central African Republic continues to give cause for concern. The EU has been trying in vain for weeks to assemble a military mission. How do you explain to people in the Central African Republic why this is taking so long?
Obviously, we have to address the question as to how the country can be brought back from the brink of civil war. That would certainly involve a military component. A Blue Helmets mission has already been approved, and the EU is discussing implementation.
Germany's Economic Cooperation Minister Gerd Müller talking about the challenges faced by the Central African Republic.
Africa Link, bringing you the story behind the story.
The Nigerian army has said soldiers fought off Islamist insurgents who attempted to free captured comrades from a military barracks in the northeastern Nigerian city of Maiduguri on Friday. But in its fight against the Boko Haram insurgency, the UN Human Rights High Commissioner, Navi Pillay, has also accused Nigeria's armed forces of human rights abuses that include arbitrary arrests and extrajudicial killings. Before we came on air, I spoke to DW's correspondent in northern Nigeria, Al Amin Mohammed, and he started by telling me the situation in Maiduguri.
The situation is relatively calm. People went back to their normal business, only the affected area. And there is a sight of relief in the parts of the city following aerial bombardment of Boko Haram terrorists by the military aircraft. There is a reinforcement and arrival of fighter jets that intercepted the attack or they foiled the attack, even though it was somehow complicated. Some are saying it was successfully because the attackers gained entrance into the barracks and the military are saying they foiled the attack.
On that point, the military says it foiled an attack on its base by the Islamists, while other reports suggest the Boko Haram actually attacked the base and freed some of their comrades. What can you tell us on what happened?
According to some people that live very close to the military barrack, they told me that the insurgents have actually gained access to the Giwa barracks and freed dozens of their members held in custody. They attacked the barrack actually because one can confirm that through various suspects that were rearrested in the town and some were beaten by and even killed by civilian JTF. So by that, actually, one can just say they gain access or they enter into the barrack and they freed their members.
The UN Human Rights Commissioner Navi Pillay, during her visit to Nigeria, said the army has committed human rights abuses. Has the government reacted to these allegations?
There is no official reaction from the government side as far as this report is concerned. But, you know, all the time, various reports about human rights abuses in Nigeria were refuted by the government. They always be on the side that there is no any human rights abuses from the military. They always defend the military as far as human rights abuses is concerned. But it's very, very obvious, even even those people that were freed from their barracks, they live there for more than, some live there for more than 2-3 years without trial. They just live in just one place. There is no enough food. The place is not hygienic, all sort of thing. So to me, this is a clear human rights abuse.
Alamin, give us a picture of what life looks like in Maiduguri. I mean, have people lost hope in life? Do they have a sense of feeling that the government is there, the government troops are there to protect them? What is life like there in Maiduguri?
Actually, it is a mixed reaction. Some have confidence in the military and the government, but some honestly lost confidence. That's why many of them took law into their hands. They decided to defend themselves by cutlasses, sticks, and other things. The establishment of the civilian JTF, people decided to join civilian JTF because they want to defend themselves. So you can, everybody in Maiduguri now has stick and cutlass in his custody so that they defend themselves. That signifies that they lost confidence in the government.
I was speaking to Al-Amin Mohammed, who is in northern Nigeria.
Human rights.
Around the world, the press plays a vital role in informing the public on issues and events that affect them. It has also been famed as the fourth estate for its important role. Regardless of its importance, many journalists are faced with challenges in search of that story they wish to tell the public. Some of the challenges they meet are intimidation, denial of information that ought to be in the public domain, government censorship, among others. Zambia is one country where the media operates under difficult conditions. Stephen Poko reports.
The Zambian press has always suffered at the hands of successive governments. Once the parties form government, they suddenly see the press as an enemy and a threat to their hold on power. The current Patriotic Front government, headed by President Michael Sata, is no exception. Many journalists have been harassed or arrested on trumped-up charges. One of them is freelance journalist Wilson Mpondamali.
I was held in police detention for over 4 days without any formal charge. I was denied police permit to begin with, despite the charges being available.
Wilson was arrested for allegedly being found in possession of seditious material and stealing a library book. But he says the real reason for his arrest was that he was suspected of being a contributor to the online publication, The Zambian Watchdog, that is critical of the government. He fell ill whilst in detention. Wilson says the whole ordeal took a heavy toll on his family as well as his professional life, but he has vowed to continue.
I have not been heartbroken. I've continued the practice of my investigative journalism, and I think I'm more right and mature than I was earlier than that.
Radio stations also experience intimidation if they are suspected of giving more coverage to the opposition or people who have fallen out of favor with the government. Recently, police surrounded Radio Mano in northern Zambia to prevent a government minister who had just resigned from giving a live radio interview. MISA Zambia is the Zambian branch of the Media Institute of Southern Africa, an organization that promotes media rights and responsibilities. It says politicians are trying to suffocate the media in Zambia. Helen Mwale is the vice chairperson of MISA Zambia.
Journalists are writing stories on online publications and blogs that are very different from the stories they write for their respective media outlets. Why? Because they fear to be intimidated or to be persecuted if they did certain stories in their mainstream media.
Helen also says the delay by government in enacting the Freedom of Information Bill is another source of worry. The bill will promote transparency and accountability by allowing citizens access to information held by public institutions and about the government.
The government has not been honest when telling us what it is that they are looking at. As media, we are very concerned because we have not even seen the draft bill.
The information minister was not available for an interview with DW despite several attempts to talk to him. He has, however, in the recent past said that journalists who had been arrested were facing criminal charges and had not been detained because they were critical of the government.
Stephen Mpoko with that report on media rights. Malawi's President Joyce Banda has come under intense pressure from the Public Affairs Committee to clarify on the mystery surrounding how money obtained from the sale of the presidential jet was spent. The jet that was bought by the late President Bingu wa Mutharika at a cost of $22 million was later resold by Joyce Banda at $15 million. The president maintains that the money was used to procure maize, but her finance minister, Maxine Kweza Lamba, said the money did not get into the government coffers. From Blantyre, George Muhango reports.
Since the sale of the jet in 2013 through a public tender, President Joyce Banda has hinted that proceeds were used to procure maize for vulnerable families. This came after the UN Food Agency World Food Program, or WFP, warned that 1.5 million Malawians are in need of food aid across the country. President Banda explains.
I asked about the money from the chief secretary as to whether Malawi was paid for the sale of jet to foreign company, but the secretary to the treasury said yes, we have been paid, and that is why we are able to procure maize to assist the less privileged.
However, President Banda's sentiments seem to contradict those of her finance minister Maxwell Kweza Lamba. At a recent news conference in Lilongwe, Kweza Lamba said proceeds from the jet sale never made it to the government treasury. The finance minister said the money had instead been used to clear a debt amounting to $19 million for a military purchase from South African arms dealer Paramount Group.
So the jet was sold on the 29th of July 2013. Now, with respect to the peacekeeping equipment, government contracted Paramount Group. This is a company that we had actually owed $19.2 million in respect of military equipment that had been procured. And given that it was the beginning of the year, the government cash flow could not meet all the demand on the budget for the payment of this military equipment. But of course, it had been budgeted for.
Interestingly, the minister said government was not aware that the company which won the bid to buy the jet was an associate company of Paramount Group. The uncertainty over the sale process has put more questions on Malawians who spoke to me in the streets of Blantyre.
Who do we believe? Do we believe what the president is saying? Do we believe the information minister said, or the finance minister, or the press, the presidential press aide? So this is the problem that we have in Malawi. I think it's about how the information is being passed from one point to another.
She is the head of debt. She represents not her interests. She represents the interests of Malawians. And if people have some expression of discontentment, they have the constitutional right to do.
While it is now difficult to prove who is saying the truth between the minister and President Banda, the Public Affairs Committee PAC pointed out to one example on the government's silence over the $100 million corruption scandal, which has come to be known as Cashgate. PAC chairperson Felix Chingota called for an overhaul of the whole system of governance.
Because what is now in the public domain is the issue of the Cashgate. People would like to have that issue discussed as soon as possible. Of course, the current report hasn't mentioned names of people.
The PAC says money from the jet sale should have been used to procure drugs for health facilities currently facing erratic drug shortages. Another civil society group under the Human Rights Consultative Committee, HRCC, has also demanded an explanation from government on how the proceeds from the jet sale were used. Gift Trappings, one of the activists, says they may be forced to take action if government does not come clean.
We'll come in as civil society to force the government to come up in the open. So we have our own mechanisms that we'll do. I don't want to preempt. There are so many channels that you can put pressure to the government so that they are accountable to Malawians. And Malawians need to know where their money, because that's the taxpayers' money, went.
Former President Bingu wa Mutharika bought the jet in 2009 at a cost of $25.5 million. But last year, President Banda sold the jet at an auction for about $15.5 million to Bonox Enterprise, which was registered as a Virgin Islands company. Banda argued the jet's routine maintenance services were too expensive for Malawi.
George Muhango reporting from Blantyre.
USA.
Let's hear now what you have to say about the stories we have been covering on this program in the past weeks. Stephen Mpuku joined me in the studios shortly before we came on air.
Hi, Isaac. The story that got a lot of responses is the ongoing Oscar Pistorius trial. The focus was on the gun ownership and the gun control. Here is what people from different parts of the world thought about the topic. Troy Forbuse from Oklahoma, USA wrote, "When good, responsible people have firearms, the crime is low. When evil people want to cause harm, any available weapon will do." Fiso Heizo Mantino of Swaziland had a suggestion. Owning a gun must be strictly banned in all countries because you may never know whether it is in good hands or with an evil person. Another suggestion from Marina Diaz of Guatemala was that owning a gun should require a mental and psychological certificate. Not all people are fit to have one. Rodolfo Dulan also shared his thoughts. "In Mexico City, we can't have guns legally. You get them from black markets, and we live in a city with sociopaths everywhere. I think the U.S. has a great policy. You just have to control the selling a little bit."
Interesting mixed reactions there. What else do we have, Stephen?
The other story that attracted quite a number of responses is about the violence in Central African Republic. Remember, the fighting in that country has displaced some 1 million people and left thousands dead. Investigators fear genocide will come next. On Monday, the UN launched an inquiry into the recent violence. The story, Isaac, received close to 200 likes.
That shows how many people are concerned about the situation in that country.
We have also been hearing from members of our listeners' clubs. John Samvura from Ruhengeri, Rwanda, said their club is growing in number and their community activism is also increasing significantly. Michelle Mfitumuzika, also from another club in Ruhengeri in Rwanda, said they have added more young teenagers to their club and have decided to change the name of the club to Happy Young Children. Muhammad Said Bakri, in a series of letters, said he is especially happy with our broadcast and our quiz competition. Speaking about quiz competition, I would like to remind our listeners that our quiz contest is still going on, so keep on sending us your responses to win a laptop, a tablet, an MP3 player, or a radio. If you would like to know our quiz question for this week, log on to our website, dw.de/Africa, and listen to Tuesday's Africa Link show. There you will hear the story first, followed by the questions. Remember, you have only 7 days in which to answer the question of the week. That's all from me. Back to you, Isaac.
Thank you, Stephen. You can send your answers for the quiz competition or respond to topics covered on Africa Link on our website by sending us a text message on +491609575910, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or even a letter to Africa Link, DW53110, Bonn, Germany. If you're a member of one of the clubs and wish to have your comment aired, then drop us a line with your phone number and we will call you back. Your say will be back next week.
Listen to Africa Link where and when you want. Subscribe to our podcast and you will get the latest edition sent to you. Log on to mediacenter.dw.de/English/podcasts and look out for the Africa Link podcast. Africa Link, bringing you the story where and when you want it.
And now a reminder of the stories that we've covered on the show for the last 25 minutes. The EU announces a new package for the Central African Republic to a tune of €81 million. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, says Nigeria's armed forces committed human rights abuses as they fought the Boko Haram in northeastern Nigeria. Malawi's President Joyce Banda comes under intense pressure over the mystery surrounding the money from the sale of the presidential jet. And there we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. For comments and suggestions on the stories that we've covered, don't hesitate to send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de. a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, or an SMS to +49 160 957 59510. Crispin Mwakideo will be here with you next week. Please do join him when you can. And I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, wishing you a splendid weekend.